You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Your come and save her. Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. Oh, you're as welcome as you could be to be here with us for this conversation today. And I know that you will absolutely enjoy hearing our guest today. We're going to have a wonderful visit, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. I'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, I am Amaranthia Sipia. I am the co-founder of Sista Creatives Rising, which is a virtual project run by me and my mom, Claire Jones.
Wonderful. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
Well, let's first of all talk about the name of your project. What was the inspiration for such a wonderful name?
Oh, wow. So there is a bit of a story behind it. My mom and I, we did like a business course back in 2021. This was after our first virtual art and film event, Art in Mind. We did our pilot show, helping marginalized artists with film and showcases and story showcases. And we did this business course that we just invested so much in. It was a lot. It was a big thing. And working with this mentor, we were like, okay, who are the artists that we highlight and who do we want to represent moving forward? And how are we helping these artists? So Sista comes from us being, you know, a Black disabled mother-daughter duo, and, you know, especially in the Black community, we like saying sister to each other, you know, recognizing Black women and uplifting each other. And so we wanted to use that. And then Rising, because we're helping these artists who are struggling with representation, who are multi-marginalized, who are BIPOC, who are queer, disabled, et cetera, helping them rise and be seen. You know, artists that usually just aren't seen and given a chance or even paid for their work. And obviously, yeah, this is a creative pulls it all together. So it's just the creative rising. And also because our first show highlighted a lot of mostly women and femme expressing people. So we wanted to do a call back to that. And we still mostly represent women of color, femme expressing folks of color. But we represent anyone who is a marginalized woman or a marginalized gender identity. So that's it.
That's a great answer for a great name for your project. And I notice you use the word project. So what does project mean to you?
Well, we're a grassroots project. We became fiscally sponsored back in 2023 by an organization called Brain Arts Org in Boston. Who helps mostly Black and Brown artists. But now we are fiscally sponsored by something more local because we're based in New Hampshire. And so we're fiscally sponsored by a nonprofit called Black Woman in New Hampshire Social Club / Collective. And so we wanted to... It's a project because it just allows for a lot of flexibility for my mom and I to continue this work. You know, sometimes if we are sick or dealing with a flare-up, or like in my mom's case, she's in ongoing preventive cancer treatment for a rare blood cancer called multiple myeloma. And so, you know, being a project, it allows for the flexibility of, like, if we need to take a break or step back in any way, there's that. Our fiscal sponsor helps with, you know, help make sure that we can apply for larger grants and have support and, you know, feedback if needed on things. They've been really, really amazing working with Black Women in New Hampshire Social Club, and they're also Black disabled women owned. So, yeah, we just wanted to have that. And everything we do is grassroots. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. What's your vision for your project? Like, as you see and as you unfold what's happening with this project, what's your real vision for it?
Well, I think our vision has always been, we have our general slogan for Cystic Creatives Rising, which is bridging gaps from the past to the present into the future. And that, and also just what started the first Art in Mind was this question to the audience and to our artists, like, how can your story positively impact others? And so with the slogan, we wanted to show how we are, I guess our goal basically is to not only help these marginalized artists and get them paid and help them get seen through film and art and stuff, but taking these stories that reflect on our past as marginalized creatives, you know, basically oral storytelling, and being able to pass on these stories through art and film to encourage others in the present. And in the future, you know, archive these stories so then these artists can look back and our audience can look back and feel inspired, encouraged, feel less alone in what they're dealing with, being multi-marginalized. And so that's where the, you know, how can your story positively impact others, like, comes from. We want to, you know, even though sometimes, like, the stories we highlight can be very heavy and can be, just heavy. So we want to show that despite that heaviness, we're bringing in this optimism that, you know, we can all move forward and grow and help others. So there's that. And of course, being a virtual project because of our disabilities, we always like to say creating change from our couch, which is the Art in Mind slogan specifically, because we are literally creating from our couch due to our chronic illnesses. And so many of our artists that we work with in team are the same. So, yeah, that's the overall, like, vision and goal.
I am literally sitting on my couch during this podcast. So I have great, great respect for all of us who are changing our environment and our ways of doing and being in order to keep ourselves safe, others safe, to use our gifts and talents. You know, and I'm so thankful to our platforms and this network and this studio and our engineer for making that possible. And so what do you think is the, you talked about marginalized artists and artists who have challenges and obstacles. So what do you think are the most prevalent challenges that are facing artists of color today?
Something that my mom and I have seen and experienced, and then the same with artists we work with, is a lot of them don't get paid.
Right.
And so it's really hard to get paid as an artist in general. And when you see in general that the representation of artists of color, disabled artists, artists with, like, again, multi-marginalized identities, because a lot of the artists that we highlight are of color, queer, and disabled.
Okay.
And that's the same with us, my mom and I. So when you see a lot of galleries or art museums, you just don't see us on the walls, right? You don't see art that looks like us or art created by us. So we wanted to create this project to combat that. Because a lot of times you submit to a gallery, like I've been submitting to galleries and I've been in galleries. I've had my own solo art shows before, just the Creative mm-hmm. Rising, doing like activist work, especially around anti-bullying and race and stuff. But living in New Hampshire, it's very hard to get support for art that is highlighting these types of subjects because it's like seen as taboo here, you know, that people don't want to touch on those things. They don't want to recognize that, you know, racism and ableism and, you know, queer phobia, all those things are interconnected and are a systemic problem. So creating art like that, sometimes it can be very hard if you're in a majority white area that you don't get that support. And then, of course, you're not getting paid. So we were like, okay, we got tired of it. We got tired of, like, submitting to places, getting rejected, submitting to grants, getting rejected, and just seeing mostly white artists getting it over and over and over again. And not seeing our faces there. So we're like, okay, well, what can we do to fix this? And so that's what a lot of the advocacy comes from.
Wow. Well, first of all, I hope someone has said thank you. But just in case they haven't, I will say thank you.
Because
that is the greatest challenge. I mean, look at the wonderful Renaissance work. Look at the work that happens when people have money. Right? When they don't have to worry about, you know, what am I going to do to pay these bills? And they can just focus on creating. Tribal cultures, you know, indigenous tribes and cultures, artists were a part of the tribe. Go over there and do art. We will hunt and fish and make sure you have something to eat, you know? And those kind of things fostered tremendous creativity and beautiful talent. And so thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with me. Thank you for sharing and for other artists, because I think it's a justice issue. I'm amazed, especially in November. November is Native American Heritage Month, and I'm always amazed at how many people just, you know, will you do this for free? Will you make this for free? Will you speak to us for free? And you're just shocked, because no other field do they do that. No one goes to their doctor and says, oh, you know, just, are you going to treat me for free?
Exactly.
Nobody goes to the store, grocery store, and says, I got a bag, thanks. I think they call that shoplifting, and probably guards will come after you, you know. So, and only in the arts and, you know, humanities do people think, oh, well, he's just, you know, all right, cool. You know, so thank you for honoring that social justice, because I do believe it is a social justice issue that artists, if anyone's getting paid, artists, musicians, people in the humanities, and don't get me started on mothers, because I think we should. I think we should have many more resources than we do in society.
I talk about that all the time with my mom.
Yeah, and so I just love what you're doing, and I thank you for doing it. And so as we talk about this, this is very exciting because you mentioned Art in Mind, and so I'm really so excited to hear what is going on with that, what that is, our friends who listen, 160 countries. So, you know, maybe you should start by explaining it to us, introducing it to us for our friends that might not yet know.
Right. Well, thank you again. Yeah, with Art in Mind, this is our third show this year. So again, the first one is was in 2021, and it was our pilot called Art in Mind, Reflections of Women, Femmes, and Our Mental Health During COVID. Each show is basically an art and film event and fundraiser. The first show, we fundraised for Brain Arts Org, who eventually became our first fiscal sponsor. They were going through a struggle with being able to keep their building open for BIPOC artists in Boston. So we use these shows now with the second one that happened in 2023 called I Know Who I Am, Journeys of Women of Color and Femme-Expressing Creatives. And then now this show, which is called COVID Climate in Our Future. Basically, each show highlights COVID because a lot of the artists, including us, are COVID conscious, still wearing masks. And we also now fundraise for our microgrant program called the Sisters Uprising Fund, which, you know, Dawn, you're a recipient. And so we wanted to create a program for these artists, particularly BIPOC artists, that usually get, you know, rejected by grants or have a hard time finding grants that cater to BIPOC communities specifically, especially those who are disabled, homebound, and immunocompromised like us. So in 2023, we did that show, and we took these films and from the artists that we pulled together, scouted, you know, had our open call for, you know, our team, et cetera, and pulled together these stories where these artists are sharing how they are using art to heal and thrive and survive in a world that is just very tough to live in for them, and be able to advocate for themselves and other people. And again, like, you know, that whole thing of how can your story possibly impact others? So again, using that oral storytelling tradition, but pulling it through, putting it into these films and archiving them, creating a 3D virtual gallery for people to navigate through, and who might not be able to go to a physical gallery, and they could see their work on these 3D gallery walls, and they could speak with the artists at the event through panels. There's speakers that are, you know, therapists and disability speakers, and, you know, different actors who are experts in their field that give free advice. And we also do a resource document that has like mental health resources, COVID resources, things like that, for free, that we just give out as like a PDF or like a Canva link. So we do a lot of things to pull the show together, but everything revolves around the film and the speakers that add to the show's initiative in film. So yeah, it's something we're very excited about, that this is our third show and our biggest yet.
I'm so excited for you. Congratulations. This is wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, and to see it all coming together, you've worked so hard. You are working so hard. It's just so encouraging to see you willing to make this effort, especially since it seems like the rest of the world is kind of, I don't like the word moved on, because you can move on and be wrong. You know, you can move on and fall off a cliff, right? So we'll just say they're in denial or something like that. Because I see something wonderful happening here in so many ways, on so many levels, for so many people groups, and this is marvelous. But I think we have to talk about the elephant in the room, and that's COVID, because I see people acting surprised when they catch COVID for the third, fourth, fifth time, or acting shocked to find out that their favorite celebrity, you know, is sick and has long COVID and can't sing country concerts anymore, or they are surprised when their children come home from school with infections repeatedly. And the refrain I keep hearing is, I thought COVID was over. Or COVID is back.
Same.
Right? So I think I'm going to ask you, because you're so knowledgeable, to really address that issue. I mean, you're COVID conscious, airborne aware, COVID conscious. Why in this day and age?
Why? Yeah. Well, I mean, because of, there's so many reasons why. I'll start off like just personally, is because I deal with invisible disabilities. My whole family does, me, my mom, my dad. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, like my mom is going through preventative cancer treatment. She takes these pills at home that are not chemo, but equivalent. And she started that in November. She's in month 10 and it's working, you know, so. Yeah, and so it's been, her numbers are great, but it means that she's immunosuppressed. And my dad is also a cancer survivor and diabetic. But yeah, we all have, I guess what you would call comorbidities, you know, multiple illnesses that kind of affect each other in different ways, both with mental slash emotional disabilities, you know, living with complex PTSD and panic disorder, and then also just these chronic health issues. And that makes you extremely vulnerable to complications from COVID, and it could further disable you. With my mom, it could land her in the hospital, or you know, we've shared on our Cystic Creative Thriving Instagram, we've done videos talking about studies coming out saying that, you know, COVID is an oncogenic disease, which means that it can progress cancer or trigger cancer, that cancers that might be dormant in your body, like especially if it runs in your family, or, you know, it could just trigger it. And so her doctors always tell us, like, it's good that you're wearing masks because you don't want to make the issue worse. But I would say in general, we are COVID conscious and encourage others to be COVID conscious because it's a disability justice issue. It leads to segregation and isolation of disabled folks because many of us cannot risk any kind of infection, especially COVID. And it could take our lives or it can make us further disabled. We already have enough disabilities, but anyone could become disabled from COVID. Anyone who can become disabled from it. And we actually just shared infographics. We're doing an infographic series on our Instagram with our graphics assistant, Chi, who's also a Black COVID conscious artist. And they are helping us put out these statistics about COVID and climate change. And one of the facts that we put out was even if an infection is only mild, your immune system may experience long-term damage. And a 2022 study shows that patients with mild to moderate COVID infections show signs of immune dysfunction, low levels of white blood cells, and ongoing inflammatory response. And these symptoms of an abnormal immune response were present at least 8 months after infection. So basically, every infection you get accumulates, and it can create more and more symptoms. It can lead to like organ damage. It can lead to like, you know, just irreparable damage each time you catch it. And climate change just makes it worse because those pollutants, you know, they could carry the COVID. They could make it. The COVID particles, they can make it spread further. You know, if you have dirty air, it's not good. So there's a lot of things that we're trying to do with this show. And we want to let people know, like, masking is such an easy way to not only be in solidarity with disabled people if you believe in disability justice and equity for all, but also just to protect yourself. You want to make sure you can live long and be here for your family and, you know, your friends and just be able to do what you want to do in life. So
Well said. You know, everybody has somebody they'll listen to. That's what my granddaddy used to say. Everybody has somebody they'll listen to. And one of the reasons I wanted you to share that with us is because someone's hearing that needs to hear it. And it's not always put in that perspective and lens that you just shared, you know. People are thinking of it as sort of cold data or a mild cold, and it's just, you know, oh, well, it's over just about. And you're putting it in a framework that helps it to be relatable to a lot of people. You know, as the matriarchs, right, we have to make every decision to the seventh generation. And so when we think about our children and grandchildren, do we want them to be disabled by long COVID, which is now the leading cause of child disability? It surpassed asthma, right?
I saw that, yeah.
You know, we don't want that for our children and then our grandchildren, right? And our future their children and grandchildren. So some of these decisions are personal and some of these decisions are tribal and some of these decisions are cultural and some of these decisions are just simply the right thing to do. Justice.
Absolutely.
Right? In every situation. But however you get there, we want you to get there. So thank you for sharing that with us because someone heard that and it meant something to them. And so let me ask you this.
because art and mind is so important. And climate, my goodness, none of us can escape that, right? We all live, mm-hmm. you know, if you're listening to this, you live on Earth and climate impacts you. So talk to us a little bit more about the theme of art and mind and what it means to all of us personally.
Yeah, so we decided to go with this theme because, you know, with our last show, which was basically like a reboot after my mom had cancer, she had lymphoma. And so we were like, okay, when she went to remission, we rebooted. And so we decided, okay, at the end of this show, let's stay on Zoom and talk to the artists and team and get feedback. And we got really, really good feedback. And one of the artists that we highlighted, Kayana Hernandez, or Kai Ties, is a Puerto Rican artist. And she was affected by the hurricane that hit Puerto Rico a few years back, to the point where, you know, it obviously affected the power outages. It caused power outages. It caused, you know, flooding and, you know, just mass disaster. And she created this piece that was a self-portrait of her in the shower, you know, showering with a bucket with when the power was off. And she suggested at that, you know, basically survey meeting, like, and feedback meeting, like, maybe we should do the next show about climate change. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, that's such a good idea. So we took that and we're like, okay, how do we build upon that and connect it to COVID and share how, you know, all these things, they intersect. And so that was the basis for the show as we started developing the initiative last year. And we wanted to raise awareness, especially because there's been so much pushback, both on COVID, obviously, and then climate change for years. There's been like climate change denial, global warming denial. And we wanted to take the show as a way to take the stories of BIPOC artists who are disabled and COVIDing, still masking, and have been affected by climate change, and are just like witnessing it around them and with their friends and family, and, you know, what's going on overseas, you know, what's happening with, you know, and especially in Indigenous communities, and what's been happening with Palestine as well. We want to be able to share how these things are all interconnected. And so that's what the premise of the film is, and making sure we're bringing in Indigenous voices to highlight how it's affecting those communities in particular. So yeah, it's been very, very big undertaking to do this, and a lot of research that we're pulling together.
Well, again, thank you for being willing to do it. What is the most surprising, shocking, stunning fact or piece of information that you have learned about this connection between climate and COVID? Something that surprised you and you're really knowledgeable.
Wow. Something that, again, that we just shared in our infographic was how, you know, like the issue with polluted water, extreme temperatures, poor air quality, how that's all connected with how disease is being further spread. You also have to think about, too, like how people, when they're displaced and they have to gather together and, you know, huddle together to, like, be in a shelter or be in a, another area that they're not, you know, isn't their home. Like, they're going to be around a lot of people from different places, and disease can spread very easily. And that could all be because of like a climate disaster that happened that took away, you know, the safety of their home or their homeland. And then on top of that, I'll share a statistic here that COVID causes health conditions that worsen how affected we are by extreme weather and pollution. So, a single COVID infection doubles your chance of developing asthma. And then that increases your risk for other heart and respiratory diseases. And 60% of COVID patients have had heart inflammation. So all these things, you know, immune, cardiovascular, and respiratory disease, they all increase the risk of sickness, hospitalization, and death due to climate change. So the high temperatures, the pollution, that increases your risk of pathogen exposure. So again, it's all interconnected. And I just don't think enough people realize that. You know, COVID was just the beginning of an issue that's going to be ongoing and getting worse and worse, unfortunately.
Well, you know, sometimes it's hard to put together a puzzle, for example, unless you have a picture of what the finished product should look like. If I just give you a box of pieces, you know, you may get it, but it may take you a while, and lots of things may be lost in the meantime. And so we need, because people are getting individual things, like here's the weather report. Isn't it shocking that this is happening? Oh, and then over here, some other situation. And we need folks like you to draw the connection between what's happening and why, so that we can see, put the puzzle pieces together and really see what this is for real. It's not just isolated incidents and, you know, unrelated happenings. There's real connection between these things. We have to go to break, but before we do, I want everybody to spend the break time visiting, liking, following, signing up, whatever it is for your socials, your websites, your events, your connection. Can you give us that information, please?
Oh, yeah, of course. So we have SistaCreativeRising.com. And again, that's Sista, S-I-S-T-A, CreativeRising.com. And then we have our Instagram, which is where, you know, these infographics and stuff about the show is being shared. We're rolling things out. So you follow us at Sista Creative Rising on there. And then if you go to our site, we have our newsletter as well. It's just, there's a sign up right at the top. And if people want to donate to support us, our team, we have our fiscal sponsor, Black Women in New Hampshire Social Club. We have their information right on our website. You could donate there, or you could just support us on Ko-fi, which is linked on our Instagram. So, yeah.
Perfect. All right, we're all going to go and sign up, donate, follow, all of those good things. And when we come back, we're going to really delve into some important themes of art and mind. We'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
We are strong and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Millions retire online, so they can do what they want offline. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
The life of every child is precious. If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/ssikids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/ssikids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Oh, what a joy to have this conversation today. I mean, I love all of our conversations with all of our guests, but today we are all learning so much that is so important to every life, and that's because of our wonderful guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yeah, I'm Amaranthia Scipia, the co-founder of Cystic Raises Rising, which is a mother-daughter project run by me and my mom, Claire Jones.
So much respect and love for your mother also. She is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful part of this endeavor, and we're so happy and rejoicing with her at her good news about her health. Many prayers have gone up, and we are really excited that she has good news.
Yes, yes, it's been a blessing. Basically, there's an antibody that tends to be very high with multiple myeloma patients, which is, again, a rare blood cancer. It's very common in those who are in Black people specifically. Mm. And her numbers were like, it was like 4,000. It's called IgG. Uh-huh. I'm forgetting the exact, like, what exactly it stands for, but it's an antibody. And it dropped down to 650, which is completely normal.
Oh, wow.
And her numbers have been, they've been high for 8 years.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is, again, she's in the precancerous phase of multiple myeloma called smoldering myeloma. So it's asymptomatic. You don't really feel much, maybe a little tiredness, maybe bruising once in a while. That's it. So she looks so good. Like, you wouldn't have been able to really tell before, but, like, there's a glow that she has.
Yes. Oh,
such
thank
a blessing.
God.
Mm-hmm. And now she only has to go... The next time she goes to the doctor is in October, which is around my birthday. Before she was going every 2 weeks, and then it was like maybe every 4 to 6. Mm. And now 2 months, that's a huge deal. So, yeah.
Oh, praise God.
Or every 3, I guess. Yeah. I actually think it's about 3. So yeah. Yeah. I got that.
Oh,
wrong, yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, that's beautiful, beyond beautiful. And I know many people have prayed, and so we praise God that that's a good report and a good answer, and she can continue this wonderful work for a long time to come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We love doing this work together. It's really, it's so fun to do. It can be exhausting because it's so much, but we just love it. It feels like we were called to do it. It feels like our
purpose. You are. Mm-hmm. You are. You have a calling to do it, and you're able to do it, and I'm so thankful you're willing to do it, you know?
Thank you.
And it's a wonderful thing. Well, wow, there's two themes of art and mind that I really want to discuss with you, and as far as you're comfortable, and especially in this climate now, this social climate now, which seems openly hostile towards disability.
Oh, yeah.
And towards, you know, ethnicity and race. Could we talk about those, disability and race, and as they relate to art and mind?
Yes. So, again, I would say, like, especially with the second show, you know, our microgrant program last year and this show, we bring on, again, the majority of the artists are disabled and of color and queer. And we know that, like, these are the groups that are, like, really disproportionately affected by COVID and disability and, you know, just what's going on in the world with, like, Medicare and Medicaid being cut, people losing benefits like food stamps. People scared that their, you know, SSI, SSDI could disappear. You know, their Social Security benefits in some shape or form could go or be lessened. And on top of that, just the increase in racism and, you know, racist attacks that are happening. I know so many people that we've worked with and just in the disabled community in general who are Black and brown, who are immigrants, who are Indigenous, that are just so scared to leave their homes, to be racially profiled, to be picked up, you know, and deported when they have a right to be here, you know, and they're just here working to take care of their families. They're, you know, good citizens. They're doing what they can for, you know, their community and for their families. And one artist I know, like, is just very scared to just go out of their house because they're like, well, I'm visibly Black, wearing a mask, you know, and so many people that I know have been attacked just for walking on the street wearing a mask, being spat on, being pushed, being, you know, slurs thrown at them. And that affects us too. Like, we're very cautious about not going out much, and we already don't have a car. So it's like, well, we just try to go to our doctor's appointments because, again, we live in a majority white state, New Hampshire. And so we stand out like a sore thumb uh-huh. when we go out with our mask, and my mom has her cane and her head is shaved, which, uh-huh. you know, she's not losing her hair, but she likes to keep it shaved. That's one of the things she does to protect herself, to show that, like, hey, I am a cancer patient.
Right.
You know, and to make it more visual. And that sometimes helps. But if I went out by myself or my dad went out, we're the only indication that we're disabled is our mask. So it's like, sometimes people will give us nasty looks or try to challenge us, like, why do you need to do that? You don't look disabled, you know, things like that. So it's like a lot of different things we're combating right now. And again, this is what the show is, not only just talking about COVID and climate in general, but like these personal experiences of like what it's like to be chronically ill, disabled, you know, living in this world while wearing a mask and being a visibly like a person of color. So there's a lot of intersections.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I wonder if that even makes these artists and their work more precious, right? I mean, these are such unique perspectives that we must preserve them. They're necessary. Another side mm-hmm. of life and what's happening, you know. When you think about Art in Mind empowering artists, what does that look like to you? I mean, these artists that are under such scrutiny and challenges, and I mean, because right now it seems like everybody is going through something. I mean, it mm-hmm. used to be that maybe somebody was going through something and we could all help and support them, and then somebody else was, and we'd all, and then, okay, maybe we were going through something and everybody could help. Everyone you talk to seems to be facing yeah. tremendous, I mean, you know, wow, I mean, okay, we've all leveled up in this video game. That's what it feels like. You know, like,
yes.
What?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now you have to fight this and this. It's like, what? So
a lot of bosses to fight.
Yeah, right. And so when I think about the voices of these artists who are facing what you've just described, right, you know, taking a walk around the block might be a dangerous mm-hmm. enterprise. What do you hope that Art in Mind does for them and for their work?
I really hope that there's different aspects, but I would say the overall thing is being able to gather, virtually, mm-hmm. which is safe, all these artists that we're working with. And again, many of them are homebound like us, or they're just very limited in where they can go because of mm-hmm. where they live and, you know, the demographics of where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to gather, do this virtual communal gathering where they meet others like them, where they are able to inspire others who are looking for hope, you know, because it's a free show. So we make sure that, you know, it's free. You get your tickets online, and people can choose to donate to the Sisters Uprising Fund if they'd like to. But we make sure that it is, you know, fully free. We try to make it as successful as possible, and each show we build upon that, and we make sure that, you know, we have our open captioning, closed captioning. We use ASL, we use image descriptions, you know, self-description when people introduce themselves. So we try to make it as inclusive as possible. And as we grow and as we, you know, gain more supporters, sponsors, et cetera, then we'll be able to add even more accessibility tools. So we try to make it this disability accessible, safe, mindful event where people feel empowered and can feel free to share their stories. Even if they're not one of our artists, the audience can speak with the artist. They can speak with our therapist, you know, gain advice from them. You can speak with their our experts that we bring on. And because we'll be revealing soon our speakers. We have a climate expert who's a climate activist. We have a event opener and closer who will be doing hand drumming. And
I'm so excited.
It's just like, it's so packed. And we also have someone who's going to be doing grief guidance. Who's going to be talking about how, you know, the grief that has come with COVID and what's happening politically and how we could deal with that. So just providing all these resources, I think it's just really empowering for these artists. And of course, on top of that, we're doing like the seed funding where we give a stipend to everyone. And each year we try to increase it. But it has been, you know, it was really hard this year, but we were finally able to get the sponsors and some grants. Because that's another thing that this administration is causing problems with, being able to get the funding. So we were very, very fortunate. A lot of organizations were less fortunate, but it was just a lot of fighting.
So a lot of fighting.
Being able to give the seed funding to artists so they could, you know, get supplies. They can go and maybe apply for other opportunities, you know, apply for fellowships, things like that. That's really, you know, it all comes together. So it's just, it's really exciting for us to be able to do that.
It is exciting and it's wonderful. And, you know, at this point too, I think we have to highlight that part too. We have to highlight the joy. We have to highlight the success. You know, my granddaddy used to say, trouble's going to find you. You have to schedule, you have to plan your joy. And
yes,
he was right.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
It's so true.
He's right. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And so in this kind of a situation, I do think we have to have the highlight reel. I think we have to have, you know, yes, there are tremendous cuts. I'm the director of a nonprofit, and please check on all your nonprofit friends who work in the nonprofit sector. We are not okay. Because it's alchemy. You know, really, can we make a dollar out of 15 cents? Well, we're going to try. So, and it's almost like that alchemy, right? We're spinning things into gold. You know, okay, what can we do with this? What can we do with that? Doing more with less, you know? And so I think whenever somebody gets something done, we should all cheer. We have to. I mean, no matter what it is, we have to say, wow, in spite of all these tremendous odds and obstacles, you did that. And, you know, and give thanks, right? Because we need to, I think, remind the community especially that it's not just grief. It is grief, and we must work through it. You know, in Indigenous culture, we have the wiping of the tears ceremony. And then after that, everybody goes and eats a feast. And so we're going to wipe these tears. We're going to heal. But we're also going to really enjoy art and mind. I mean, we're gonna have fun looking at this art and seeing an art gallery. Maybe we haven't been to an art gallery in person for a while, so it's great to see this, right? And we're going to clap for these artists and celebrate these artists, you know, and bless the technology that brings us all together in this way, too. I mean, wow, if this had happened in the 70s, it'd be a whole different narrative, right? So, we have to give thanks. We have to remain grateful. We have to remain joyful. Otherwise, this crushes us. And when we are willing to do that, what do you think changes?
Yeah, I think when we're able to celebrate and, you know, despite the pain and the grief that is happening right now, it just empowers everyone. It allows us to be like, I guess, find the light within the darkness, which I know a lot of people say, but it's so true that, you know, when there's darkness, there's always light. There's always a path to move forward. And, you know, my family is Buddhist. So we always are like, okay, where can we find the balance in this space or in this situation? And even though this environment might be very tough to live in, what can we do to push back? What can we do to help others?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we applied for a grant with the help of our fiscal sponsor, and we were basically penalized for being virtual. And yeah, and so we applied for 1,000, and then they reduced it to 850 because they were like, well, you're not, you need to consider doing in person, even though it says in our application we do virtual because that's what our audience requests and that's what's acceptable to us. And they also didn't like that it was founded by, you know, two people, me and my mom, even though we have so many people involved who build this project and make sure that, you know, there's a low risk of burnout and being able to work together to bounce the ideas off of each other. And that's very much a tradition, and especially ethnic communities, BIPOC communities, being able to, you know, a family coming together, a person or a duo coming together to help the neighborhood, you know, create meals
right.
for the neighborhood, or, you know, being able to do work where, you know, oh, someone needs a little funding to be able to get something they need, like with, you know, maybe someone leaves and pulls the funds together from the community to help that person. So it was something that was very upsetting, and our partners, and including our fiscal sponsor, wrote letters and were like, nope, this is not right. This is discriminatory. And they refused to increase it. So we were like, you know what? And what was so amazing about that moment is when we were told that they penalized us, we fundraised on Juneteenth. And by the third day of fundraising, which was like a day after we got that news, we raised over $850.
Yes.
So we recovered it. And then we were able to pay our speakers. So it was just like, well, you're saying this, but our community is saying, no, this is valuable. Virtual community is valuable.
That's
grassroots-led projects are valuable, that are non-traditional. And so that's the kind of hope that, you know, people give us and give our artists and just give the community that, like, you know, these things are needed. And it's just very, that was a really hard thing to deal with, because we've had people tell us virtual is less valuable. We've had organizations tell us don't apply because virtual is less valuable. And so we're like, no, we're going to fight against this ableism. And so I think that, you know, it's been getting so much love and being able to give that love back to this community has been so healing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your bravery. You know, and sometimes we just have to help people understand what's going on now in this time and in this season, too. You know, that everyone's voice can be included now. Right, accessibility, there's no excuse not to have accessibility. We don't, you know, have to ride in a covered wagon to try to get there now. We can, you know, put it on Zoom or whatever. And so I appreciate you for taking a stand for that. And even the chance to see mutual aid, right, which is not charity. It's what we've always done. I mean, tribal people realized real early that there's, you know, saber-toothed tigers and things out here, and we better all stick together if we're going to make it. And so I love the fact that even when you were told no, you came up with creative solutions, but also allowed the community to have access to you and your project. Because now they are part of it. And so this is beautiful. The work that you're doing is wonderful. What do you want us to know about Art in Mind that we may not already know?
Well, again, we are rolling out the infographics and stuff about the event, talking about, you know, why virtual events are valuable. And we're doing that now. And we're about to reveal something really exciting, which is our mascot. We have a frog mascot because a lot of our branding is focused on nature and sunflowers and lotuses, which calls back to our spirituality, our spiritual, you know, Buddhist practice, and also just the hope you want to give to people, because, like, you know, the lotus is thrives in the mud, and sunflowers also just symbolize healing and hope. And we were like, well, we need like a mascot that kind of pulls that all together. And we realized, oh, a frog is perfect, you know, especially when you think of lotuses and lily pads. And so our graphics assistant, Nabila, who runs a project called a character, she has this character named MacWire on Instagram, and she does mascots as part of her graphic design work. And we worked with her to create this character. Me and her made it together, and we're going to be revealing that soon and using it as a way to encourage people to mask, and, you know, using that as a way to talk about these issues and statistics in a very cute and accessible way. And of course, we have our tickets coming out in August. August 21st is when you can get your free ticket on givebutter.com, which will be on our website and our Instagram. We'll have that link. And also donate to the Sisters Uprising Fund, because our goal is $1,500 this year. So we could do $300 microgrants. Last year, it was $200 microgrants that we did. And we got over that, you know, that goal of $1,000 for those $200 microgrants. So we were able to distribute 8 of those. And so we hope this year that we could get a minimum of 5 $300 microgrants or more. So that's happening. And just a lot going on. I would also say, too, we have a mass fashion competition where we're going to be paying people to participate. Like, people could just post, like, pictures of them in their best outfits with a cute mask. And that's still coming together, but we're really excited to reveal how that'll be. But it'll have cash prizes. So, lots going on.
Yes, all good, too. And I love your choice of a frog. Because frogs have true, yes, I'm a homeschool mama, in case you didn't know. Frogs have metamorphosis, right? They go through so many different stages and change forms and all of that, but they're still themselves the whole time. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful choice, because so many people are going through a lot and changing and growing and becoming different in many ways. But the essence of them is still the same, and that's a beautiful thing. Oh, this is a wonderful conversation. I want you to tell us one more time how folks can, if they need to register for Art in Mind, if they want to donate, but also the work that you're doing, the social media that you have, whatever it is you want us to follow or share or like, please tell us now.
Yeah. So, again, our website is sistercreativesrising.com. And then you have our Instagram, which is sistercreativesrising. On our website, again, you could subscribe to our newsletter right at the top of our page. You could donate through our fiscal sponsor if you want to donate a tax-deductible donation. That's right on our site. And then if you want to support us on Ko-fi, which is not tax deductible, but just, you know, if you want to support us monthly, we'll have some stuff coming up on our Ko-fi soon. We'll have like a little store. That's another thing we're doing, is selling art soon with our mask on and other things. And so you can support us there. And that's, again, linked on our Instagram. We have that. My personal page is Amaranthia Sophia Artwork, and I plan to be posting more art and kind of behind the scenes stuff on there as we go into Art in Mind going live. So,
oh, perfect. Oh, I have enjoyed this conversation so much. Thank you for having it with me today.
Thank you. And I will definitely send you a bit of an early invite.
Oh, wonderful.
So look out for that. I'm very excited.
I am excited, too, and I'm excited for all of us that this is even taking place because of what it means. You know, someday when they reminisce over us, these kinds of conversations, these kinds of events, in spite of everything happening around us, will be pillars of the earth, monuments that we were here and that we tried to do the right and just thing, even in the midst of perilous times. This is a wonderful conversation, and I send so much respect and love to your mother as well, and thank you for the work that you're doing. I thank our sponsors, our donors, our platforms, our engineer, our friends, our prayer warriors, all of you who make this possible. This podcast is a labor of love, and we love all of you that take part in it. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together again next time. See you then.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.